President Bush wasted no time getting to work. Shortly after his swearing-in, he issued a series of ethical guidelines for his new administration. He also moved to block some of President Clinton's final executive orders. The new president faces the task of trying to keep all the promises he made during the campaign, NPR's Steve Inskeep reports.
The president promised to send an education bill to Congress. He mentioned the plan at almost every campaign stop. Speaking to supporters in an Indianapolis airplane hangar, he said he wanted local schools to use tests to prove their students are learning.
I believe we ought to have high standards, local control of schools, strong accountability, and when we find children trapped in schools that will not teach and will not change, we will free parents to make different choices for their children.
Mr. Bush proposed stripping federal subsidies from failing schools. Parents could choose to send their kids to other schools, including private schools. A government voucher would cover some of the tuition. But sending government money to private schools is controversial. Hoping to avoid an early battle, Bush advisers have already signaled they are willing to be flexible. At his confirmation hearing this month, Education Secretary Rod Page faced a question from Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy.
Will you make private school vouchers a priority?
Well, not a priority, Senator. Allow me to comment on this, because there's been much discussion about
this. I'll take your first answer.
Some lawmakers also want to peel away part of the president's tax cut proposal. Bush wants to cut income taxes for every American, including the wealthiest Americans. In his inaugural address, Bush updated a statement he had made often during the campaign.
We'll reduce taxes to recover the momentum of our economy and reward the effort and enterprise of working Americans.
His supporters cheered that statement more loudly than any other. Trouble is, even Bush's own Treasury Secretary doesn't quite believe it. Paul O'Neill has said he favors a tax cut, but he doubts that it would affect the economy that much. Some Republicans in Congress are urging the president to break his tax plan into smaller parts that they can sell more easily. Mr. Bush also promised dramatic change to the Medicare program for senior citizens. In September, he traveled to an assisted living apartment complex for the elderly. He told a room full of seniors that they would be able to choose their health insurance from among competing plans.
You can choose to keep your current Medicare benefit exactly the way it is, or if you decide, you can add to it, or you can improve it.
Bush says he wants reforms that Republicans and Democrats can support. But the Medicare program is complicated and politically sensitive. Millions of Americans have an interest, and so do countless corporations that lobby Congress. Past efforts at reform have gone nowhere, so any changes would test the president's deal-making skill. The president has also promised dramatic change in the other big program for seniors. On a factory floor in Michigan, he said he wants younger workers to take part of their Social Security payroll taxes and invest the money in the stock market.
Millions of Americans of every race and age and background will have not only wages, but accumulated wealth. Not just benefits from government, but ownership and self-sufficiency.
The candidate didn't say exactly how his plan would work. He did make some specific promises, commitments that might contradict each other. He promised not to raise Social Security taxes. He also promised not to cut benefits for anyone who's retired or about to retire. That makes it uncertain how Mr. Bush will raise the money to pay for his plan. He says it would cost $1 trillion over 10 years. In an interview last summer, the president committed himself to work out the details, even if they cause him political pain.
I will provide the cover necessary to get something done and share the credit. That is specific. It is what the CEO's role is, and it's going to be the blueprint to get something done.
While campaigning, the president also committed to get something done about a health care issue. It's an issue many Democrats consider a top priority. With some Republican support, Democrats in Congress favor a patient's bill of rights. That's the name they chose for a law that would let patients challenge their insurance companies if they're denied treatment. It would even let them sue their insurance providers. As governor of Texas, Bush had a mixed record on patients' rights. But by the third presidential debate in St. Louis, he made a clear commitment.
I do support a national patient's bill of rights.
Which may pit him against powerful business groups. Just last year, businesses worked against a patient's bill of rights. Businesses fear they might get sued by employees in their company health plans. In order to keep his fairly detailed promise, Bush will have to face down some of his strongest Republican allies.
If I'm the president, we're going to have emergency room care, we're going to have gag orders, women will have direct access to OBGYN,
People will be able to take their HMO insurance company to court.
The president made other promises. In California farm country, he spoke from the back of a train. Crates of green and orange vegetables rested on either side of the tracks.
It's a matter of national security that we have a strong farm economy. I want you to know the farmers are not going to be secondary thoughts to a Bush administration. They will be in the forethought of our thinking.
When he traveled to corn-growing regions, Mr. Bush promised to continue the federal subsidy for ethanol, a fuel made from corn. Good government groups have attacked that subsidy for years. They say it wastes money and benefits a few powerful corporations. When he moved from farm country to coal country, Bush promised to boost the coal industry. He became the first Republican in years to win the state of West Virginia. In October, the candidate stood on a riverbank in that coal mining state.
This is an administration that fears coal. They see coal as a threat. I see it as an opportunity to make us less dependent on big foreign oil.
Coal causes more pollution than most other fuels. To keep his promise, while also keeping the air clean, the Republican president has committed to another government subsidy. He wants Congress to approve more money to develop clean coal technology. Mr. Bush faces a battle with environmentalists over another piece of his energy policy. He wants to allow oil drilling on federal land in Alaska, inside a portion of the vast Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. President Bush defended his plan at a news conference.
I don't think that you compromise the genuine national security interests of this country.
Now, you might think that sounded like the other President Bush. In fact, it was the other President Bush in 1989, promoting his plans to drill in the exact same Arctic refuge. Mr. Bush said he supported that policy despite a massive oil spill that year in Alaska.
I don't think that you can predicate a sound national energy policy on an aberration that seemed to have taken place in Prince William Sound.
The drilling plan didn't get far in the 1980s, and it's not clear how much further the younger Bush can take it now. Congress would have to approve any change. Unlike his father, the new president has the advantage of working with a Congress that his party controls. But regardless of party, lawmakers have their own ideas. So do the interest groups that lobby them and pay for their campaigns. George W. Bush is about to find out if he'll have any more luck with his agenda than his father did. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.